Hello, welcome back to the Country Caribbean Podcast. I am your host, Lynn, and we are recording live from them hard, small wooden chairs from the library. But welcome back. Now, there's two things I want to highlight before I get into the episode, the meat and the potatoes. All right, so I have fallen in love with working out with weights, resistant bands, those little sliding discs, those little foam balls. And I feel as though, like, many people say this when they're working out, like, they stop focusing on losing weight and then just start focusing on the muscles part. And that's been me, like, I want the little muscles and stuff. And I'm a thick girl, okay? Genetics. I got shoulders, I've gotten into arguments and heard the football comments or whatever. But that's what made me nervous when I first started to work out with weights. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm already built. And it's like, I'm gonna be more built and I'm gonna be all buff and stuff. And I think that's like any woman as well. I remember I used to work at a gym and I would hear women like, oh no, I don't wanna lift weights. I don't wanna look like a man or whatever. And guess what? Those women are. They, when you see their workout videos, they mostly lifting weights. You barely see them do anything outside of the weights. But I was nervous about the weights and stuff because, of course, I don't want to get too buff. And it's like, I'm already thick. Like, I don't want to get thicker. But once I started working out with the weights, my arms, they're getting a little bit smaller. I don't know why it's so hard to lose weight in your arms. Like, I don't know, like, what is that? But my butt has been lifted. My butt lifted up. It's more solid. Like, I guess people call it tone. Like, I'm toning up basically. My legs feel better. Like, I haven't went running outside in so long. I actually miss it because I used to run outside. Just like the fresh air. I don't know. It's just something about the earth. I feel more stronger, and let's say I'm doing something that requires a lot of leg work or whatnot. I'm not as tired, or I don't feel weak or whatnot. I could walk up some stairs, even though please don't let me walk up some stairs. But like, I will walk up some stairs and like not be out of breath. And I don't even use like heavy weights. I use like little 3-pound weights, and those things be doing their job. Especially when you have kids, okay? I'm trying to listen. I should have been fell in love with weights and resistance bands because chasing after a child and being out of breath is like, oh my goodness. But now I can participate with my daughter because kids always want to be like, Mommy, come here, come see this. Mommy, come catch me. Mommy, come help me. Just all those things. I want to be able to do it without being like tired or feeling uncomfortable. Like, I'm actually feeling more comfortable in my clothes, so I'm like, it's just, I just, I'm like, listen, I done invested in like so much workout stuff, and I've mentioned this before, but I've actually got gloves, and now that I have gotten gloves, it's better for me to work out and like hold the weights better. I just love it. Like, I just love it. Another thing I want to highlight, and this is related overall, but I was watching one of my faves, D'Angelo Wallace, and he was doing his little, I don't know what you call those things, a docu-commentary. It's like a documentary commentary type of thing. And he was talking about like putting out content. And he was saying that, spamming content is not going to help the algorithm and that you should focus on putting out quality content. And it could go both ways with that. Like, if you're spamming with quality content, and as someone who, like, I do have my own personal YouTube channel, A Lynn, ALYNN. I don't know. All right, it's like this. I be editing videos, to put on like Instagram Reels, Instagram, my hair page, my personal page, and I'm starting to do it with the podcast page. So editing those like 10 second, 15 second, 1 minute videos, it's a quick process. To now where when it's time to edit a actual YouTube video, which is like almost an hour worth of footage, I'm like, whew. And I've seen people ask questions about what do you do when you're editing, but you still need to post. It's like, what are you feeling for that time? And with the whole content thing and the whole algorithm, we all know about the algorithm. It's to the point where these people are like, pay us and maybe your followers will see your content. Maybe somebody will see your content. Even the blue check mark people be talking about the algorithm and how a lot of them are like leaving and being on different other platforms because of people just cutting up. And it's all a business at the end of the day. We all know that. But it's annoying when you think you cracked the algorithm, you think you figured it out, and then they're like, no, you know what, just give us some money and we'll promote it to, pick your budget, 500 people, 5,000 people, we'll show them your content. And it's like, ugh. But it's all about investing in yourself. So then that brings me to Tokyo. She was talking about how she wanted to get her hair did, and one of the requirements was the pictures are required. Like, you have to take pictures if you want to get your hair did. Now, I'm gonna assume it was for like a frontal, because you know, that's everybody's been saying the frontals, the got to be glue is sold out. I can't find it. Jeez. But she was just talking about, oh, y'all making the clients do too much work. Why can't y'all just hire, like, get some models, do the model's hair, have a photo shoot, and use that as your promotion instead of just making your models, not make your models. Instead of just making your clients have their makeup did and making them take pictures like you would do a model. And, you know, taking up their time. Because sometimes some people just come in and want to get their hair done and get the hell on. I understand people want to cut corners where, you know, cut corners be cheap because they want to keep all their profit. They want to keep all their money. Especially when it comes down to wigs and quality wigs. Like, I don't know how much they be. I'm a hairspray. Do this type of person. But even if they hired a photographer, all right, let's say they hire a photographer who's like me, you know, I'm not a photographer. I have a camera. I know how to take pictures. I know how to edit pictures. I know how to do all that good stuff. Let's say they hire somebody like me. If this becomes an all day project, they want me to bring my backgrounds because, listen, right now I have a pink background, a yellow background, light brown background, a black background, and I have to get some more backgrounds because I want to do photo shoots for my daughter. So each background is like, it could be, well, the ones I find be like $30-$40. So I'm bringing my background stand, I'm bringing my tripod just in case, you know, you gotta have your tripod sitting around. I'm bringing my camera, of course, the flash attachment. I'm bringing my lights. Lighting is so important. So how much would that possibly be for pictures? And there's some people out there who want to keep the original pictures and they want to keep the edit pictures. I know there's photographers out there who do not send out unedited pictures. And even if you do send out edit pictures, like, people will go back and edit your pictures that you already edit for them. And it's like, ugh. So I can understand people wanting to keep the original so they can do what they want to do to it. So that's a charge. Not only do you have to buy the wigs, you know, put the wigs on these models' head, pay the models, maybe provide wardrobe, or they could have their own wardrobe. They have to pay the photographer. A lot of these photographers, especially the new ones coming up, even me with my, amateur self, I wouldn't charge anything less than 300. And I may be underpaying myself, because if it ends up becoming an all day project and I still have to go back and edit, and I still have to go back and edit, email it out, and then it's taking up memory cards. It's a lot. It's a lot. So I can understand why some people don't want to take that extra push to go about it. And I understand where Tokyo is coming from. Like, I constantly see on my timeline on mostly Facebook where like people are like, hey, shop with me, shop with me, shop with me. And their pictures that they took off the vendor's website. And it's like, how do these clothes look on non-Instagram models? It's like Ari Fletcher. It's like a picture of her, and the outfit is like photoshopped. And it's like, I don't want to buy from you, because I know, like, I can see, yes, it's lazy. I'm gonna say that. It's kind of lazy though. And as someone who braids hair, it is kind of hard to find a model and stuff. Even if you're willing to pay them, it's mostly just about time, or people just straight up don't want to do it. So I have stopped searching for like people to do their hair so I can have these pictures for, when people be like, let me see your work. So I've been stopped searching for that. And I'm like, shoot, I invested in a mannequin head. I'm like, shit, she always available. She got hair, it's washed, I got shampoo for all that stuff, because it do get hard. So just laziness and not wanting to put in extra work, and just people being fed up. I understand everybody needs content, but people get fed up. So, in this episode, I'm going to be talking about the natural hair community. Woo woo, we in here. Yes, my peoples. I understand there's drama in every community. And of course, it's going to be drama in the natural hair community, the black hair community, because texture, products, lying. Ooh. Listen, the natural hair community has been lit for the past couple of years, but these past couple of months have been very interesting, okay? So there's been a trend called I hate my natural hair, why I hate the natural hair community, why I'm leaving the natural hair community, and just the basic, oh, natural hair isn't from everybody type of thing. And with that, I remember a video I was watching from African Hair God. Remember that name, because he's going to come back up later on in this episode. He was talking about it's reversing what we already done, and these bigger people and these bigger brands, they're watching this stuff, they're seeing this stuff. And like I talked about it in my Levels of Colorism episode, these bigger people are watching, they're seeing. So if they see you hyping up this, they're going to push that. If they're seeing you say you hate your natural hair, they're going to keep this like discriminating, or they're, just being just cheeky, like just being slick and stuff. So I'm going to start off with the I hate my natural hair trend. These girls ain't talking about nothing. So then that made me ask a question. And did the natural hair influencers run out of content? Because people done did all the wash and goes, all the twist outs, all the DIYs, and the new girls that are coming in, they already have their following. People just, they already have their following. They have something different. Even though they're probably doing the same thing, they still have something different. Now, with me, I don't really post hair content. If I'm posting hair content, it's me doing hair. It's mostly me doing my daughter's hair, because, kids, we got to figure out what they want to do. So I'm like, okay, people are always looking for hairstyles for kids and whatnot. I mostly do hair content, or I will talk about products. I'll talk about black owned, just little stuff like that. I do commentary on there too, but it's very light commentary. So people are trying to find something different outside of the wash and goes, the twist outs and stuff, because it's already been done. There's just so much that you can do. So they're coming out with washing my hair with rice water. That trend was lit. Everybody did the Jerry curl one, and I was like, I'm gonna have to try that on my own hair. That's what made me so interested, because one woman, she did it by accident, and it ended up becoming a, she just did it to do it. I think it's either one of those. So it ended up becoming a trend, and everybody was getting the activators, the gels, and another one is the aloe vera. A lot of people are doing the aloe vera, talking about some, watch this video before you put aloe vera in your hair. Or, you know, aloe vera juice, aloe vera deep conditioner, aloe vera pre-poo. I did aloe vera on my 6-month-old child's hair. Look how long is it now, even though, you know, baby's hair gonna grow. So, it's those little different things. But the ones, like the I hate my natural hair, like I said, they ain't talking about nothing. They're just like, oh, my hair gets dry. Yeah, it was one girl. Her hair was bleached. Her hair was bleached with all these different colors. And she was like, it gets so dry and it barely has a curl. And like, they was not talking about it. A 20-minute video. And it's just like very drawn out. Honestly, you gotta get your watch hours. But another one was, I'm leaving the natural hair community. I hate the natural hair community. And I see their point, because there is a lot of policing in the community. People trying to tell you what your hair type is. Me, I don't do hair typing. If somebody asks me about a hair type, if somebody asks me about my hair type or my daughter's hair type, I'll tell them. But I'm not just straight out here saying, oh, my daughter's 4A, 4B hair. No. So the hair charting is very, like, just to divide people up. It wasn't. First of all, the hair type chart wasn't even created by a black person. It was created by some dude. So, and it's so funny because, like I said, just because me and you have the same curl pattern don't mean our hair is going to come out the same. That's just how it is, because you have to take into account the feeling of your hair. If your hair is thick, if your hair is thin, all that other good stuff. I know me and my daughter's hair is very soft, so our hairstyles don't really last. Well, especially my daughter's. Her hairstyles last like a week, maybe 5 days. This is how her hair is. Like, her hair, it'll look dry, but as soon as you slap some water on it, so you know the whole I'm about to mess this word up. Why am I fucking this word up? You know, porosity and then low porosity type of thing, to where how much your hair holds moisture, water, how it doesn't hold, just that type of stuff. And especially all these new products on the market. I love that we have all these new products on the market, because back then people were just water, grease, style your hair, and then you go about your business. I remember I seen a thread. It was like, how come our hair grew back when our mamas was doing it, but now that we're doing it, we're struggling, having breakage, and all those good things. So a lot of people said they're leaving the natural community because of hair typing, because of products, all these different steps. And that's another thing. I understand that what you put on your body affects your mental, and a lot of naturals are like, don't use this, don't use that, use juices and berries. So like, a lot of people's hair, it's different now than what it was when their mom was doing their hair, because they're exiting out all these different things that are included in products. I did some research on like ingredients that are in my products, and it's all chemicals. Everything is chemical. Okay? Everything is chemical. Why am I messing up words today? So, if you put this together, that together, that together, that together, that's what gives it its texture. That's what gives it its color. That's what keeps it from rotting after 3 days. Okay? That's what keeps it slip. That's what keeps the hold. All that stuff. So, I learned that early. When I started to take my natural hair more serious versus just blow drying it, straightening it. I know my dad, he will be like, stop frying your hair. And I used to think I had thin hair until I stopped using heat and focused on my natural hair. And I was like, oh, where did all this hair come from? Child, I was literally frying my hair because my hair looks so thin. So I learned that early. My mom was like, your hair is dry now than it was when you was, like, before you decided to look at all these different natural hair influencers. So one thing I kept was, I kept grease. A lot of them was like, get rid of grease. No, sweetie, I kept grease, okay? Grease is good for my mane. Whatever shampoo, I mostly focus on conditioner. Like with shampoo, I just double shampoo, make sure squeaky clean, make sure I got all the products out, because I be putting all the, I be using edge control, hairspray, all that stuff. I'll make sure I'll get all of that out. But with conditioner, I make sure I get a nice thick conditioner, a little thick, a little runny. And I don't do all that pre-pooing. I still use coconut oil. So it's a lot of rules. And I think a lot of them are divesting. They literally use that word. Because of all the different rules and what you can't and can't use. And people saying like, oh, I'm not taking advice from you because people just assuming that you have it easier because of your hair type or whatnot. It took me, well, we're in 2020. About like 6 years to finally get a routine down and figure my hair out. I'm still learning how to style my damn hair, so it's still a process whether you go natural tomorrow or you go natural. I mean, I done did so much shit to my hair, but the first time I've actually had a perm relaxer, my mom put a just for me in my head. That was my first and last one, and she said my hair was too straight, so I was like, what the fuck? So she just did it to do it. You know, kids' hair, they change, it changes throughout as they get older. So I guess back then my mom had a lot of stuff going on. You know, when you're a single mom, you gotta make stuff easier for yourself. So that was my first and last time. And she used a just for me. And I can't even remember. Like, you know how you remember certain stuff? I can't even remember like how my hair was styled when she permed it. Relaxer, whichever they call it. I know I did put a texturizer on my hair. Listen, don't be mad. I did put a texturizer on my hair. This was like 2015-ish, but my hair was already damaged from all that permanent dye Garnier Fructis that I used. It didn't even change my hair color. It just gave me highlights that you can only see in the sun. And then I dyed my hair back black, like most, like a lot of people. And then I added a texturizer because I know me and my boyfriend at the time, we were just playing around with stuff. And I put a texturizer in his hair and I put one in my hair as well because I started to try to use bundles, you know, ordering bundles and trying to put them in my head. So I was like, let me texturize my edges so I don't have to keep slicking it down with baby hairs or whatnot. But listen, my hair was already damaged. So I remember I got some bundles. I was happy. I was lit. I was like, ah, I got me some curly bundles. I let this girl bleach them. She overprocessed them, ruined my fucking bundles. I spent like, I'm not even going to talk about the price. So then that made me stick to just wigs. Just, girl, just go buy you some wigs. My first couple of wigs were horrible. They were horrible. Okay. So I eventually got the wig thing down, figured out how to do the tips and tricks. Like I said, how to get the shine out of the wigs, how to find good wigs. Because I was just out here like, oh, I like this wig. Let me go get it. Instead of looking at reviews, looking at the tips and tricks, plucking, and I did not know nothing about plucking, so the wigs were thick around the edges. Plucking, adjusting the wig, all that stuff. So I was like, yay. And most of the jobs I had, I wore hats. So whenever my hair wasn't did, I just braided my hair up and just wore my hat to work. I tried wearing wigs and doing the whole hat things at jobs, and I was sweating. I was sweating so hard. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wear my little cornrows and do it like that. I remember one time I had forgot my hat and the girl was looking rough. My hair was so, so dry. I had to wash it. I kept extending my wash day because I think it was all over the place. I'd be taking forever. I like to take my time with my hair. So I had to extend my wash day. So I do not want to remember it. But I was able to wear my head wrap at certain places. So, man, my hair was never dead, okay? Never did. So when it comes to doing hair, I did look after a lot of YouTubers, you know, the OGs, mostly Natural 85. That's mostly the main person I watched. And Mahogany Knots, Mahogany Curls. I think it was both of them. Oh, I wonder if they both have the same name. And so many other YouTubers as well. I still watch their videos. Some of them don't post as much. A lot of them have started their own businesses, have decided to switch from doing hair to more like adult related content, like housing. You know, a lot of them have children. Their children are older, so housing children. Being very cooking. So they've changed their content because, like I said, it's but so many wash and goes you could do. And a lot of YouTubers are doing reaction videos. A lot of hair YouTubers are doing reaction videos. So, like I mentioned earlier, African Hair God, he does reaction videos every here and there. And since quarantine, he's been doing reaction videos live. I'm talking about his lives have been lit. I see his videos recommended to me years ago, like, I would say before I finished high school, but I never watched them because I never got on YouTube like that unless it was something provocative or scandalous. Okay. So African Hair God had got into it with another natural hair influencer, blogger. I'm not going to say her name because she might get my podcast episode taken down. So she hit him with a copyright strike because he reacted to one of her videos in two different videos. So she got two of his videos taken down. He emailed her and, you know, asking questions and whatnot. And videos ended up getting taken down. Now, like I said, he did his reaction videos live, as in these were hours of content. So not only did her videos that were in his videos get taken down, but all the other things that he did in the live stream got taken down as well. He has mentioned that he is going on to Patreon because the only way people can see his content if they pay for the content. And I don't blame him either, especially a lot of people are leaving YouTube or like just complaining about YouTube because it's all these different rules, all these different things. And a lot of YouTubers, it don't even be the big YouTubers. It be the ones that are kind of smaller, in the middle type of thing, hitting people with copyright strikes, getting people's videos taken down, threatening people. Hell, it's freaking hair brands out here threatening people, makeup brands threatening people and whatnot, getting exposed, getting people's videos taken down because, of course, if somebody threatened me, I'm gonna make a whole story time out of it. The one time, this brand. But yes, going back and forth with people. Oh yeah, and speaking of this one business, they pulled a customer's information and called her phone because she did a review video about their product. And I guess they didn't like the video. And they pulled her phone number off of her order. And I'm like, child. I don't know what's happening next with that whole scenario. If they do take it to court, girl, you better take it to court. Because that's very unprofessional. when I, even though I want to try this business product, I'm like, y'all up here dragging. And there was more than one person too, allegedly. Allegedly, I have to say that. Allegedly, even though I didn't mention their name, just in case. Okay. So yes, so it's a lot of natural hair influencers and bloggers that are, you know, hitting people with copyright strikes, getting people's videos taken down, deleting comments. I mean, yes, it's their content, they can do what they want, but, you know, deleting comments or like approving comments so that all your comments are positive. And it's just very suspicious to me because every comment is an engagement. Every like and dislike is an engagement. So why try to filter it to where it's nothing but positive stuff and then, you know, cussing people out because you're like, oh, I'm so tired of y'all hopping on every video asking me this question. Well, answer the damn question. I don't know. It's a lot going on with the natural hair community. I might start posting more hair videos and stuff, even though I keep my hair in a, well, my hair is currently in the style. I'm trying to figure out, do I want to do these passion twists? Or do I just want to wear my actual, oh no, flexi rod set. Or just, yeah, but basically my own, like, just wear my hair out. I don't know. It's getting, oh yeah, because Thanksgiving is coming up. I gotta wear, I gotta have my hair looking cute to be walking around the kitchen and stuff. But thank you for listening to the Country Caribbean Podcast. I have been your host, Lynn. Make sure you check out the Country Caribbean Facebook page, Country Caribbean on Instagram. Make sure you like, share, leave voice messages, and I will talk to you in the next episode.